In this month's reviews, I would like to share with you two recent articles that have been published on distraction osteogenesis for the treatment of midface deficiency. The first article comes from the December 2002 issue of the British Journal of Oral and Maxillofacial Surgery and is titled Long-Term Results of Distraction Osteogenesis of the Maxilla and Midface. The paper comes from the University Hospital in Erlangen-Nuremberg, Germany. The purpose of this study was to describe the changes in skeletal and soft tissue relationships following distraction of the midface and also to look at the stability of these changes during the post-treatment follow-up time. This was a small study consisting of only 8 patients. All of the patients had significant midface deficiency as a result of Apert syndrome, ectodermal dysplasia, or a variety of clefting disorders. An important detail is that the average age of the patients in this study was just under 14 years of age, and the procedure was done on patients as young as 8. 5 of the patients required distraction of the maxilla only and so had an osteotomy done at the Lafort 1 level and had intraoral distractors placed. 3 of the patients required more aggressive midface movement and so had the osteotomy done at the Lafort 2 or 3 level and an extraoral halo distractor was used. The distraction was done in a typical fashion with a 5-day latency period after the osteotomy, distraction of 0.5 millimeter per day until the objectives were met, and then a consolidation period of 12 weeks before distractor removal. Sounds a lot like rapid maxillary expansion, doesn't it? Following distraction, those patients still likely to grow significantly were asked to wear a protraction face mask up to 16 hours a day as a skeletal retainer. Measurements and analysis were done in a typical way using cephalometric films taken before and after distraction, and again 1 or 2 years later. The results of the distraction are impressive. The extraoral distractor group had an average midface advancement of 20 millimeters, while the internal distractors had almost 10 millimeters. The SNA angle was increased up to 20 degrees. During the follow-up time, these changes were largely maintained, with relapse limited to about 10%. The authors believe that these results support the use of distraction osteogenesis at an early age in cases of severe maxillary or midface deficiency. They theorize that something they call distraction histiogenesis, that is the expansion of the surrounding soft tissue as the hard tissue is expanded, may improve the soft tissue envelope and therefore reduce the tendency for relapse compared to a traditional surgical advancement, which leaves little time for soft tissue adaptation. It is difficult to draw too many conclusions from this small study, but certainly the magnitude of the maxillary advancement possible, more than 20 millimeters with the external distractors, makes this a procedure to consider for the severe midface deficiency. Further details about the distraction process and more detailed cephalometric analysis of the treatment effects and post-treatment changes can be found in the December 2002 issue of the British Journal of Oral and Maxillofacial Surgery.